So unfortunately, is that we all have to decide and agree upon
collectively. Okay.
So the options are the existing technology. Whatever technology is selected from whatever vendor has to be backwards compatible. Mm-hmm. So a sticker tag will not work on our system. There is a remote possibility that there is a possibility that could be an option. It's unclear at this time which way that's going to go.
But are you saying that's why there's only really two potential bidders?
There's two potential bidders that met the qualifications of the RFP. Mm-hmm.
The Mark IV people?
Mark IV is one.
Uh-huh.
And Transcor is the other. And they're in the process of validating the test. The equipment and the transponder options. And basically the RFP calls out for basically four options. Standard transponder that we all use today now. License plate mount, which is more for certain vehicles that have certain type of windshields that a standard transponder will not work. We have a roof mount for commercial vehicles, buses, car carriers. And we've added one at our request. The tollway basically drove the request. We wanted a feedback option. The feedback option mm-hmm. also includes an audible and a visible. So the light will either be red right. or green.
So I know I've gone through the toll.
Yes. And it's registered.
And it's registered. Yeah. So what
right,
happened,
I mean a beep or something.
Right, it'll beep right. and the light. But what will happen is if it's red, it means there's something you should look into your account. Maybe your credit card expired. Right. You know, but the problem is that it's not just the transponder, you have to change some of the back-end equipment at the lane level to enable that feature. Those are the options that are out on the table, and these are the options that they're testing in process. It's unclear which way, what option. Both vendors offer that basic option. They both offer a feedback transponder. So we're most interested in the feedback transponder because we're an open system, whereas some of the other agencies, they're a closed system, they have to stop and wait for the gate to open. Mm-hmm. So those are the options that are on the table. And a sticker tag could be a solution only if all of the agencies adopt it.
If we want to remain part of the group, and if we think there's value to that interoperability.
It's a business decision, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's something that should be considered. It's premature to say that it's a good option because, again, it may, in favor of sticker tag, you can't change it from one vehicle to the other. It's there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. And if you take it off, it's no good. Mm-hmm. There's no battery, so there are pros and cons. But what's unclear is we have pretty harsh weather in Chicago too. Mm-hmm. So
it's like that little sticker in the list.
Is the sticker tag compatible with our systems, systems, or do we would have to change
We would have to upgrade the lane equipment to read that, mm-hmm. and there would probably have to be modifications to classify that tag within our system. So there's going to be some modifications to our system, whether we like it or not.
And Standard Bob, what would that cost?
You won't want to hear the number.
I would want to hear the number.
That's
probably,
right.
Well, with the back-end system, and I mean, you're looking at probably, you could be looking at anywhere from a $500,000 to maybe $2 million.
To convert to accept the stickers.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
On top of the equipment required at the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't.
What do you
yeah,
mean?
I think that before we throw out, we should probably, well, let's go back and really look at the answer to that question because I have a hard time believing that type of conversion would really be a $500,000 to $2 million.
I think that's $2 million.
That seems low to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's right.
But I, again, reserve the right to come back and say that
I think
wrong.
What's important, though, is unfortunately or unfortunately, I think the board will have no say in this decision other than accept what the group does or decide to exit the system and do our own
right.
thing. So it's important, I think, that we educate the board very well mm-hmm. that why, I mean, obviously there is a tremendous advantage of the being part of this system. At the same time, when it comes to us, we're talking, I think this is like several, this is $10 million a year again, this is another one, mm-hmm. this is a couple million a year and a couple million there.
Well, I mean, but it's not just that we're part of this consortium. It's also that we've gone down the path of this type of technology, vis-a-vis our TRIP contract and all, everything
right.
we have in place now. I mean, you talked about your timeline for that contract going out. If now we go to a different kind of transponder, that you say, oh, now we need these
well,
different kind of
things. Let's not confuse things. Whatever is selected at the output of this RFP will work on our system. So whether it's vendor A or B, their transponders, as is.
Right, but if we
yeah,
said we want to go to the
tag,
then we disrupt this
saying,
RFP.
That's it's not just that we want to be, I think we want to be part of the Easy Pass group, because I think you do want to offer your customers the ability
especially
to travel
with our
through
adjacency
Indiana,
Indiana
and all
right.
through all the other. But it's not just about being part of that consortium. It's that we've gone down the road of certain type of technology, which you wouldn't necessarily want to change unless there was some compelling reason, like to go to the tag as opposed to the transponder that we have now. And I just don't see why you would do that now.
But I think it's important that we, as a board,
yes.
that presentation be made, not that we're trying to force the board to have to accept A over B, but to understand that if we switch from the transponders to Easy Pass, that collapses over into Stan's area, which could have a significant cost. Now, you know, that might be life in the big city, and maybe we decide we're willing to pay that money, but I think we need to know where it all connects. So when we come to vote on accepting whatever that group does, it's not that we did this in a vacuum, that we were
but
getting
we'll put
there.
The right we'll put the right presentation
right.
together for, again, probably not the next board meeting, but a future board meeting in the either the following or sometime over the next couple of board meetings, so that you are, you know,
and just
comfortable with where the processes, or at least educated about where the processes
and
what our options are.
The depending on the outcome of the RFP, the sticker tag could be an option. It doesn't mean that the way it's architected, it's a possible option, but it doesn't mean that you would have to upgrade some physical infrastructure. But what I'm saying is that the regular transponder that we know and use today can coexist with the sticker tag, except that sticker tag would only work
within
Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not everybody goes to sticker.
Right.
It's not either or.
Our truckers in that favor system that is compatible as much as possible.
Exactly.
Right. It might not be as much of an issue for the strict commuter traffic.
Right. For someone like
right.
me that spends most of the time driving in the state of Illinois, it probably wouldn't be the biggest issue. But a trucker or someone, a salesperson that is in Indiana and others, Pennsylvania on a regular basis. But I think, again, it's a perception issue for both our users and the public. That we need to be educated so that the decision we certify or ratify is an informed decision. And decision was made 7 or 8 or 10 years ago to go to the system, and it is our job to move forward and try to create the best possible consumer outcome with the systems that are in place. Not that, you know, and nobody did anything funky or anything as much as it just we need to understand. But I think it is critical that in a presentation, that how Ed interrelates to Stan and how that interrelates to something else is important. And also, you know, if we do this, does it affect the truckers who are a pretty important part of our income and what their view is on this? Because I think what Iowa has no toll roads. Indiana does.
Ohio,
Pennsylvania, and that's all part of our
yes.
consortium. So that whole leg of it, you know, we need to make sure we're sensitive to those users as well.
And in light of what you're saying, the other thing is that if you do make a change, you affect another area.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to get off the Easy Pass, then your violations theoretically
yes,
would start going up.
Yeah, we need to know that. Now, the other thing that the chair was concerned about, which I think she's with modern technology, if I recall what Paula said. How come we can't have a system that you simply could use it on any toll system in the state of Illinois, or for that matter, Canada, Mexico? That was the concern, is like, you know, how do we get down to where, in essence, two companies have almost a pure monopoly? That, I think, was her concern.
Well, I think that, you know, we definitely heard from the board meeting where we discussed this, or at least I heard, that the inclination of the board seemed to be that to the extent we could have a situation within the Easy Pass group, and again, we'll have a limited amount of ability to impact this, but to the extent we could have something where, you know, there's a set specification with multiple technologies that could be purchased so that there were some options and we could maintain flexibility, that was clearly the inclination of the board and the direction. So again, we are part of a consortium. We're not the only voice at the table.
We are the biggest voice.
We're one of the biggest voices. Mm-hmm. We're certainly one of the biggest voices.
Who will cast our vote in that vote on this kind of?
Well, Stan has been participating in that. He was kind enough to pass on. I think he was probably quite thrilled to pass on his responsibilities to me. So now I'm involved in the meetings on the conference call. Have not participated on one yet since being here, but will, with, of course, Stan's continued support and the technical staff support. I know Ed is also involved on the technical side, helping to create the technical specifications. I hope I'm not leaving anybody out.
There's quite a few people from the tollway that have been involved, and right now, it's interesting to watch or listen on the conference calls. But people are opinionated in some areas, and we just have to be vocal about what our needs and make
decisions. But in the end, it will be a $8 to $10 million decision that is made by the staff on behalf of the board as part of another 20 different agencies. So when it comes to us, we will simply either accept or reject what is recommended. We won't have the power to say, oh, we'd rather go.
Well, we always have the power.
We can reject it. But I mean, it'll either be transferred or not. We know that at this point, it sounds like.
It'll be at a cost. Now, I guess the other thing is, and I don't know, and I'm going to trust the technology people and Christy to make sure that that we are looking at different options, because I'm assuming this is an evolving area for everybody. And I'm assuming at some point you could get to the point where you say, well, we could have a transponder for trucks, because they want to make sure they go across state lines, but there are some commuters who would buy a sticker or get a sticker tag because they're not going anywhere other than within
right.
the state of Illinois.
And we have
so
to
So we got to make sure that it stays competitive out there. Somebody doesn't think, oh, well, we've got the lock on this one and nobody's ever going to come up with a new technology that says, okay, I'll sell half of your customers who don't care about go Indiana or whatever, and maybe they get a sticker tag, and I don't know.
We have discussed that. I mean, clearly that means another level of investment in our own system to be able to read a new technology. But again, you know, the board, you have all been very clear about wanting to be as competitive as possible. So, you know, we will take that to heart in, you know, whether it's casting our vote on this group or, you know, the conversations that we have with them as we're doing that, and you know, and looking at our system again, I think that we should really, if we're serious about wanting to review, and I hear that you're saying that we are, other options, I think we need a serious conversation or, you know, some work around what the cost of implementing a secondary technology would be.
Right. I think we need that report, and I think part of what I think we're trying to say collectively is, if it's not this year, in 3 years or 5 years when this is bid again, at some point there ought to be this pressure on the 20-some agencies, as well as interaction with SunPass or California Pass or Mexico Pass or Canadian Pass, whatever they are, so that we can continue to work so that there could be a more compatible technology where there would be more potential vendors. That's really, I think, our bottom line. And it might not be in 2010 or 2015, but it would seem that we would eventually be able to get there where it benefits all of us as agencies.
The Easy Pass group is looking at that. They know they have to start reaching out to the Florida people, because especially on the East Coast, they have a lot of transportation coming from Florida.
That's right.
The SunPass and North Carolina and that. So they are looking at
it. It's just important that we keep that as it's a priority for our agency. We're the center of the country, transportation-wise, and we want to offer as many. We want to have the best, most efficient system that benefits both the trucking community and the passenger car community. And we don't want to get caught where we're down to just one or two vendors, and then we're kind of at the mercy of them. And I mean, these transponders don't cost a lot individually. when it's $10 or $11 million a year.
Across multiple states, it's very lucrative.
It's not only a lucrative contract from our end, that's a lot of money that could be used for other things from the state of Illinois. So I think you have gotten the message. I think the staff understands our goals, and I think it's just important that as we move forward, when are we going to know what the bidding will be done?
What I can tell you is that we're expected to finish the testing third, fourth quarter, and going through the rest of the process, it's sometime in 2011, first, second quarter, it's unclear.
Okay. We'll just report that to the board, but I think it's just that make sure that we can get the best possible investment for our users.
And stay on top of it in terms of the technology and the evolution also on our system and what our back, our lane and all the other technologies involved, that we're kind of leading the charge, I think, and how the transponders interact and all that.
Our system is unique across all of the agencies.
Well, that's why I think it's important that we stay on top of that in terms of options.
Well, especially because now we're looking at this new contract here, and this is going to be by next year.
That's going to be
Hopefully the bids will come in at $500 or $600 a year, but I'm afraid they'd be a little higher. So, but in reality, we're going to make a 3 to 5 year decision or 7 year decision on that. We need to make sure that it is futuristic enough that as the group moves forward, we keep trying to get to our goal of being compatible throughout the whole country.
And that fair to say you're also futuristic enough, but also flexible enough that we can accommodate.
Because I think we do that. That is probably one of the great modern successes of the tollway in the state of Illinois, is getting a very efficient system with a lot more users. And with all of its stutters and starts, it seems to be accepted very well by the public. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, we want to continue to do that, but we do, 2 million people a day is a whole lot of people. Okay, anything else at that end of the table?
No.
Okay, signage and education program. This is the Bill Morris pain in the butt show.
before I go there, Wendy quickly sent me an update on average in 2010, our response time to Biznetic emails. It's 34.88 hours.
Oh, okay.
So, they closed out, so
there
we go.
Now, that's pretty good. What is
37? 34.88 hours.
Oh, boy. You're going to have to do a report in 6 months to see how you do.
We'll bring it down. what I've tried to do is come up with a overview of the different types of signs that we use to communicate with our customers. And the first point where most of our customers reach us is at the toll plaza. And a couple years ago, we started an initiative system-wide. Our roadway maintenance folks took the lead on this, and there was a committee composed of state police and legal and communications folks, and came up with new ways to communicate to our customers about how to pay their tolls. These are ramp signs that have now been installed throughout our system. One of the things that we did was clearly use colors to differentiate between the types of payment options on the ramps. They're also located in as you approach the toll plaza, the location of where you're going to see the I-pass lane versus the cash lane. The other thing that we did was add the cash rate for cars on there.
Right.
So the next task at hand was to address the over-the-road signs. And there's a series of over-the-road signs as folks approach our mainline toll plazas. This is one of them. This was a larger undertaking. Tollway worked with our traffic consultants, Wilbur Smith, as well as all of our internal entities. We did focus groups to actually pilot 4 different types of signs. And at one point in time, we had 4 prototype signs installed at 4 different locations on the roadway, and we rotated them around. In the end, this is what we found resonated with our customer, a green sign with a diagrammatic plaza description there. Some of our old signs, as you'll see, they have what they call the saguaro cactus. folks found that confusing. We have I-Pass with the new purple color that's known with the Easy Pass group, the dollar symbol to designate cash, and then again, putting the cash amount for cars on the sign. These have started to be installed. You'll see them on 355, and they're going up this year at some other location.
How do people in our Easy Pass group know that their transponder works on our system?
As you enter the Illinois Tollway system, we have signs that say that we're part of the Easy Pass system, so at all the entry points we do. We're also part of, when you go on the Easy Pass map, each of the Easy Pass members has information about their systems, but at this time...
The truckers know, but if somebody were going on vacation, they could check.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So that's what we have over the road. So, like I said, so far, these are starting to go up. They're not everywhere, but you can see them on 355.
There's my sign.
There you go. In conjunction with this, this is more of a communications and a stands group-led initiative. For those folks who didn't quite get the message that they needed to pay at the toll plaza or didn't have the funds, we started a campaign. We actually started piloting it last Memorial Day. It was a very public program that we had some prototype signs installed. We worked with the media, did some testing with public opinion through the media. We also used our e-newsletter, which goes out to nearly a million folks, and had them give us their input on these unpaid toll signs. And finally came up with a prototype. This is a poster. The final version of the unpaid toll sign actually straightens out unpaid toll at the top. We've had to work closely with roadway maintenance, who are the experts in the federal signage standards that we have to follow. They're not really crazy about some of our creative communication ideas, but our staff here does a good job in humoring us and finding ways to assist communications and the other departments and finding ways to make these signs stand out from all the clutter. So these signs are starting to be installed on the system as well as full-time signs. We've taken this look and we use it as the button on our website for folks to guide them so they see the sign on the roadway, they see the logo on our website to get to that. It's also using posters.
How do they pay online? Like if it's 80 cents?
With a credit card.
With a credit card? That's going to cost more for profit than the 80 cents.
No. It insures 80 cents, and the credit card fee is a lot better than 80 cents.
That's
And the $20 fine that goes along with it.
Okay.
So, and we've seen. We can talk about this at another time, but we did some testing. We saw when we had the pilot signs out there an increase in folks going online and paying.
Okay.
So we're starting to take a look at the before installation stats at unpaid tolls and the ramps and where we were at unpaid tolls. And now as the signs are being installed, trying to track some of that so we can get some metrics to see how effective it is. Posters, we also have frames on our ramp cash baskets in our mainline toll plazas. We can do a variety of posters. We design them in-house. We print them. They're printed with laminated, so they're a little bit sturdier to the weather. They do have a very short lifespan, in particular in the winter. But this is one example of the messages we try to get out to our customers. We've promoted, when we are opening 355, we promoted our opening events. We promote our safety seat events. We covet these. For our own, we don't use them from any outside entities. There have been a few occasions where we do, but we tend to put our own messages through.
Can I give you one Bill Morse problem?
Please.
With cell phones, they don't have the letters on the phones, so UC iPass would be, I think, difficult to use. Let's see. Well, the letters are there, but when you use two times Walgreens glasses, and you're now driving in the tollway trying to spell for
you,
and part of the thought is that the catchphrase of UC iPass will be sticking in your mind as you're driving, as opposed to the number.
Oh, I thought it was University of Chicago. But I think just on a very practical level, going forward, I hate when I see that anymore, because so many people use cell phones, and it's like, what are those numbers and letters?
No, it's definitely something we have not talked about that, but we certainly can take that into account.
See, when you get a little older.
The next slide, we took advantage of the tops of our toll booths.
to message our website.
I noticed those are cool.
Yeah, so certainly anybody who has questions, looking for information, we try to drive them to our website quickly, quick and convenient. We can see the poster holder there on the side.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
So that is part of our Know Before You Go campaign, summer travel. So certainly folks get that information that way too. The other thing, as we started with the congestion relief program, there's an awful lot of construction signage on the road that tells people where lanes shift and what to expect up ahead, but there wasn't a lot of information telling people what was happening on the road and when. And so we started an initiative, construction, customer communications initiative signs. These are construction.
They have one right here when I came down. I saw that. It's nice, easy to read. Yeah.
And in the longer stretches, we try to have a series of three messages. One that introduces, because we've got such a short period of time to grab somebody's eyes, so we try to introduce an overview of the project. We try to give them a timeline as to the duration of the project. And then we always want to make sure there's a way that they can contact us. When we first started this, the very first year, out on the I-80 portion of the tri-state, our work was going on consecutively with IDOT's and with Indiana's, and ours were the only ones with any contact information on it. And so we found we got the bulk of comments, not about necessarily our construction, but about IDOT.
So you might be the smartest of the three.
So the 800 toll FYI number, those folks who want to leave a message, it goes, they're reported, they are all tracked.
Right.
We get weekly reports for the calls and messages that are dropped into 800. If folks leave a phone number or an email address, we respond to them. There are a lot of folks who just are on the road and
they're stalled.
Give us a shout out.
Time.
Yeah, we've seen a significant decrease in the number of calls that this line takes, specifically construction related. As we increased the information we had on the road, as we got better with our construction signage and phasing, they dropped dramatically. But
I like the bottom two where you give a deadline of completion. So, I mean, even if that has to be adjusted, at least people know I have to put up with this, but it's only another 5 or 6 months.
Well, and that's what this was all about, setting people's expectations. One, telling them what we're doing, because for so long, you know, people see orange cones out there, and what are they doing out there? We've even had a sign, a temporary sign we put out there that said concrete curing, because in particular with the rebuild and widening, people see this
beautiful
stretch of the
yeah.
roadway, and we just let them
point.
Drive on it. So, portable changeable message signs became very effective in our construction projects. We have a requirement that there are a minimum of 10 days before any major change on the road that we need to notify our customers in advance. We do that through these portable changeable message signs. We let them know that a ramp may be closing, that a new traffic pattern is going into place, that a traffic shift is happening. Usually they're three-phase messages, so we have an opportunity to put a date in there and just start to mentally prepare our customers, whether they're daily drivers or once-a-week drivers, as to what's going on. Contractors generally supply.
I've had people comment that they like that, especially from where I live, that they work at one of the places down around Lake Cook Road.
Okay.
Because then they can begin to plan an alternative route if they need to.
Exactly.
So that's good.
And
they say, well, yeah, it's coming. And so.
That was our intent. The contract, our contracts include these signs, so totally did not have to obtain all of mm-hmm. them. But the beauty of it was most of them we had ability to control. So through our traffic maintenance office, we work with them in communications to come up with an appropriate verbiage that either the tollway maintains or that the contractor maintains. Mm-hmm. But the contractor, certainly anything that goes on there has been cleared by the tollway is appropriate, and it's the message we want to put out. Along those same lines, we have the over-the-road dynamic message signs. In this case, I've chosen a construction message. In areas where there is no construction or during morning commutes, we have travel times. Since our traffic center is synced up with IDOT's traffic center, we have the ability to get travel times to take folks all the way downtown. Mm-hmm. So we've expanded that there throughout our system. We can rotate messages. So this may be construction during commute, a construction message followed by the travel times. When it's not a commute time, we often rotate in messages. Update DrivePass account, state police safe driving messages.
I've noticed those are good.
Yeah, you drink, you drive, you lose.
You all deserve credit for being able to do a lot of information with very few letters and numbers.
There, it's tough to do
sometimes. That's critical because you don't want people distracted.
No, Abby Malloy in our traffic center is a master at coming up with clear and concise messaging. We work in conjunction with Indiana and Wisconsin and IDOT so that we can message what's coming ahead. If there's a major incident in Indiana, we can start messaging it at all the different points that people may be funneling through that way. And we've, in particular, we've coordinated our messages on these type of signs with IDOT so they sync up with what you see on the Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. So, the newest of the communications pieces in construction are the green signs. We started them last year. We're continuing them on this year. And this just lets folks know that we are being wise with our construction and trying to do more in terms of reducing and reusing.
There's a group of Cub Scouts up in Lake County that are thrilled with those signs, especially since they really believe we're using the tires. And it's like, this is, they've been studying in ecology.
Oh, good.
And one of my neighbors called and said they had to do a report at some regional thing. They talked about how many tires have been used, so this must be the sign they saw.
Yeah, that's it. So that's.
Did you know there's tires in the tollway? I actually didn't know that, so it was good to know. Very good.
That's it.
That's great. And that part of what this is a result of is when Chair Wolf asked us to create this committee is to kind of be sensitive to this, and it's obviously evolving, but it's important that, especially members of the board that use the system or staff or anybody, if there's something to think of, jot it down and let's see if we can do it, because this is a very inexpensive way to once again make people not mind their experience. So that's great. I really appreciate that. And if you could make a copy of that,
sure,
for us, it would be helpful. So we can give it to the board members at the meeting next week. 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Okay.
Next week.
Yeah. The envelope program, another thing that I get a meltdown over. So.
Okay. This has to do with the envelopes that our violation notices go out in. So we wanted to try a better way of letting the recipients of these envelopes know that they had time-sensitive material in them. So we met with the executive staff and put together some samples.
At their request.
And gave them choices between colored envelopes or white envelopes with red wording on it that stood out. The choice that was made was to continue with the white envelopes that we already used to add some additional wording in color. I have a couple samples.
And this choice was made because this was the no cost option,
mm-hmm,
and we thought we'd try the no cost option before we went to an option that was higher cost.
No, that's good.
Okay. Sorry, they're kind of crumpled. That was the best way to
put
the
printer. Well, with Christy, she probably needs to recycle these and use them this afternoon to save 6 cents. We appreciate that.
So as Christy said, this is at no cost for the envelopes to us.
Did the other one not get any warning?
No additional cost.
There was no warning on the other one.
No warning. Just plain white, nothing.
If you could, for the board meeting, have just a sample
of each
before,
sure,
and after, that would be helpful.
No problem. We can do that.
Great.
So we wanted to do that for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, a lot of them had time-sensitive documents in there that they needed to respond to, and so that we could do a tracking to see if it actually helped them respond quicker, pay quicker. So we're going to actually run this program through the end of the year, which is through the end of the contract. We're going to do some tracking, see what kind of responses we get back, if it really helps to know if going into the next contract this is something we want to continue, or perhaps even change to a colored envelope, try something different if this one doesn't seem to be doing well. So toward the end of the year, we'll be getting back to you to let you know what kind of response we've got.
That's great. All right.
I should mention, I'm sorry, one more thing. It's going to take 2 to 3 weeks to implement the program by the time our print vendor orders everything and gets it all set up. So we're probably looking at some time in July.
That's good, just so we can follow. That's great. I appreciate you responding. It might not sound like a big deal, but it's we need that money. Okay, the next generation website. Ed, I love our website. Don't
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people that, you know, the website touches many, many areas. One of the areas, obviously, business systems is heavily involved. Communications is our forward-facing side, so it's there's no I, it's a teamwork effort. And whereas IT manages the technological part, we rely on communications to tell us what is it that the customers want, what is it that's going to make it effective, because it's a synergy. They understand the customer portion. And I'm going to turn this over to Diana, our Senior Manager of Marketing and Communications, because you have to understand there's more than one player here, and we make it work, but we can't do it without Stan or communications.
Thanks, Ed. As we move forward in this new web redesign, we want to really take a look at what our customer is saying, as well as what are some of the industry trends. And what we see is that the content volume is one of the really important pieces. We initially had an update back in 2007, and at that point, we scaled back on some of our content so that we could be very, very user-friendly. We've become a little bit bloated, so we need to go back in this redesign and really scale down that copy so that, once again, we become more user-friendly. We are polling our customers to find out what is important to them, what works really well on the website, what's not working well, and we're also looking at metrics. So that's kind of the content part of it. For functionality, we're also looking at, as we had mentioned before, Joelle talked about the Viznetic. We get feedback occasionally on Viznetic that speaks to, we'd like to see the website offer this functionality. So we'll be looking at violations and how we handle the management of that, as well as other account management update programs, and try and make that, again, more user-friendly and more customer-focused. We talked about looking at metrics as one of the tools to decide what is important to our customers. What we have found are that the top five pages on our website, and it's really not a surprise, our home page, followed by the iPass page. The third most viewed page would be our unpaid tolls. The fourth most viewed page is the buying an iPass. And then surprisingly, the fifth most viewed page is our maps. So with that information, it helps us then to look at, okay, how do we then expand this going forward to the next generation? The surveys are also supporting what we're finding with the Google metrics. Again, it's the iPass page, it's the unpaid toll page. One of the things we do need to look at, however, is when we look at these metrics, and let's say, let me just pull something up. Let's say the Oasis page. That might show up as the 99th level of viewed pages. The question we need to ask ourselves is that because it's not really that relevant to our customer, or is that because it's buried? So that's one of the other things we need to be looking at as we redesign the website.
On the Oasis, that would be very relevant information to Member Wisner's committee going forward,
okay,
as well, because we need to make the Oasis begin to pay for themselves a little better than they are, so that, you know, maybe if people go on and they can tell them where they're at, so that, mm-hmm, you share that with Tom's committee as well.
We also, we also look to executive management to give us their ideas and their input as to which direction we're going. And that's also another big factor too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we just went through the top. Customer requests. As I mentioned, the Viznetic program, as well as comments that just come in on phone calls or discussions that are in board meetings, all of these different requests will be part of the tools that we use to then move forward with this next generation. One of the requests that has currently been presented is having an online redemption for our gift card. We've also had, as we mentioned earlier today, having images available to review online for the violations.
So would that be where I could go in and try to find my license plate missing the toll? Is that what that would mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you have a
If you have.
I think they, I think they, right, right. I think they do that some places where they have these TV cameras and red lights.
This is if you actually have a notice. You can go in and view the images that are associated to the violations on that notice.
That might reduce some of our complaints and just they'll pay the money.
Yeah.
One of the things, especially seeing that the system map was the fifth most viewed page, we want to really look at that page. I think it can be a lot more user-friendly, so that's another enhancement we would like to see moving forward. And again, speaking to the second most viewed page, which is, or actually the third most viewed page, unpaid tolls, I think there could be an opportunity for us to be more customer-focused by looking at maybe expanding how we service them in terms of calculating what the tolls are that they owe.
Questions?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very helpful, and keeping it current is important, and I guess the hardest job for someone like Ed or you is to recognize that some of the users are like, you know, my 8-year-old grandson who has to show me how to program a television, and doesn't, this is just second nature to them, and then you get people that are kind of intimidated by the technology so that we don't get it so confusing and cluttered. Our community college, my grandson and I are taking a kayaking course on Saturday, and we've now been through about 12 hours of trying to register for a 3-hour half-day session because when I got my notice back, I was registered for Hip Hop for Parents. And I called the college, I said, oh my God, what have I done? And they said, well, that was that course number 2 years ago, and they forgot to change it. So then we got it resolved, and I'm okay. And then my grandson got a notice in the mail 3 days ago saying, we're looking forward to seeing you in Hip Hop for Parents. So he called me up. He said, what did you sign me up for? And we called the college and went through it. And someone in the system had not said that 9032 is now for course A versus course B. And it caused me to go on their website, which is even more confusing. So I just went to the college and said, can you fix it? But I did point out to them, I said, if you'd like to see how one works, go on the Tollway website, which I got feedback saying, you know, just you run your system. But anyway, it does show that it can go the full spectrum, and something as minor as somebody apparently not changing a course number ripples through, and then what is supposed to be a PR program turns into a why would I ever do this thing. So, but that's, I like the idea that it's ours is uncluttered, and that's really critical, I think, when people get to that first page.
And I think, to your point, it's not looking, the next generation, we're not looking to change the entire website. It's just, you know, how can we fine-tune it and just make it
well, I think that's important, though, that it's done on an annual or quarterly or however you do it basis, so it doesn't just become, well, add this page or put on more news releases or put on the new envelope, and then it just becomes totally unworkable for anybody. So that this is very helpful. So that's great. All right, we made it through, and we're only 9 minutes late. The other members of the committee, what we've done is we went back, and Andrew and I kind of scrubbed all of the past agenda and said, let's make sure that items that are out there get dealt with. What going forward we'd like to do is we will, you know, obviously review our notes from this, but if there are issues, both